Hey everybody, and welcome to Project Prospect Radio. It's Saturday, October 13th. ProjectProspect.com is the website. I'm Patrick Hennessy, and I'm here with the internet legend, Adam Foster. We're now syndicated on iTunes. I'm sure everyone who's listening to this has heard of the website, but if you want to check us out on iTunes, we're there now. And we're still sponsored by TicketCity.com. So if anyone wants to buy tickets and they want to support the site, just head over to ProjectProspect.com and click on one of the links and you'll make some money.
Yeah, if you guys buy World Series tickets through us, that will fund the site for like 2 months. Also, we've already made some advancements in the podcast. We're now recording from my bedroom, which might sound kind of lame, but there's no grandfather clock. So you guys don't even have to worry about that this time.
We got a big show for you guys today. We're doing our own prospect playoff bracket. We'll explain that more later. We're going to go over all the top fives that we've put out since our last podcast. Then we're going to go over any comments, all the best comments that you guys have made on our forums. We're going to...
I wouldn't say they're necessarily the best ones. Maybe the ones that are easiest for us to talk
about. The ones that we want to talk about. How about that?
Yeah.
And that should take us through the half hour, I think.
So we're going to start with the playoff bracket. This is something Pat called me about today, and kind of the reason why we're doing a podcast. I was like, ah, that sounds like a good idea. Let's go from there.
We were going to take it all the way through the World Series, but we figured that would get repetitive. We're just going to go over all the 8 teams in the playoffs sort of figure out which one, at least of the first round matchups, which team has the best minor league system, either depth-wise or elite prospects-wise.
And bonus content, because we're doing our top fives in reverse alphabetical order, every organization that's currently in the playoffs is an organization that we have not done a top five for, so you're going to get a little bit of a preview of what Pat and I at least think about these organizations.
Yeah, and Adam has more of a say in those top five, so I would listen to him more than me. On most of these guys.
And maybe a little introduction for Pat Hennessy, since you guys probably haven't seen many of his articles and don't know who this guy is.
Yeah, I'm a mystery man on the site, that's for sure.
Pat is actually the co-founder of Project Prospect, one of my college roommates. He was the one who came up with the idea for the site. It's actually when UC Davis was playing Stanford in football and upset them a few years ago, if any of you remember that on SportsCenter. And Pat's really the brains of the operation. I just kind of took the torch and I ran with it a few hundred miles away from Pat, but now he's trying to catch up.
Yeah, the only my only claim to fame for this site is it was a twinkle in my eye before it was a twinkle in Adam's eye. But since we talked about it, it's pretty much been all Adam. But
I'd also like to say that Pat Hennessy is the URHS, undersized right-hander syndrome, creator. Do you want to tell some people what that is?
Well, I wrote an article about tiny right-handed pitchers.
Relatively tiny.
Relatively tiny for as far as baseball players go, and who sort of get the short shaft by scouts who like 6'5" and above type players instead of smaller guys who might put up better numbers. And Jeremy Hellickson was my prototype URHS pitcher, and I'm looking forward to maybe talking about him today. We're going to be talking about the Tampa Bay Devil Rays top five. I don't think he made your top five.
I think he was an honorable mention.
But obviously a special place in my heart for him.
And also a wee bit of irony, because I think this is one of the words that's most commonly misused in the English language, but Pat, you can double check me on this. This is an example of it. Ironically, Jeremy Hellickson, who you featured in your URHS article, as a 6-footer at the time, grew 3 inches during the offseason and is no longer an undersized right-hander.
Well, I don't know if I'm such a big Jeremy Hellickson fan now that I've learned that information, but he is on my fantasy team. So.
Well, is it irony? That's what we want to know.
Is it irony? Maybe.
More ironic than anything Alanis Morissette has ever sung about?
Definitely.
Yes!
We'll talk about that later.
Yes. Okay, let's get into the playoff bracket. Can we start with Colorado-Philadelphia?
Let's do it.
Yes.
All right, so first of all, we might want to talk about what are we considering a good minor league system? Is it top-tier talent? Is it depth? of Squad. What do you think?
I think our specialization as a site is looking at the potential above average prospects, above average big leaguers. Pat's kind of into the under-the-radar sort of guys, so maybe we'll combine those for some funky depth slash potential all-star.
A lot of the guys I did research on are sort of... A lot of the people that the A's had this year, take that for as an example, sort of people who aren't going to blow your minds, but they are going to make the major leagues, and they're going to be at least halfway productive at some point in their career. So I'm more interested in the depth aspect. Adam's probably more interested in the elite-level talent aspect. Hopefully we'll combine that a little bit.
I think with these first two teams we're looking at, the Phillies and the Rockies, I don't see any guys who I really like as very good bets to be elite big leaguers. Do you see any?
Especially on Philadelphia, no. The elite level for Colorado, Ian Stewart and Joe Koscienski. I don't think those guys look like world beaters at all.
I met Joe Koscienski last year, the Arizona Fall League.
Did he say that he was going to be a world beater?
He said that he doesn't care about striking out. And I was like, whatever, Joe. And, yeah, he was a pretty cool guy. He was a lot smarter than me, so it was kind of easy to interview him.
Yeah. Franklin Morales, Greg Reynolds. None of these guys are top-of-the-rotation type guys. They're all sort of mid to low, 3 to 5 starter spot guys.
And then I think Hector Gomez is a guy who played in the lower minors this year, who has the big ceiling. Dexter Fowler is another guy like that.
Yeah.
But really, no one with a high ceiling who's progressed enough where we feel comfortable saying they're going to be elite. Yeah. But we'd still pick them over the Phillies. Yeah. Guys like Joe Savory, Adrian Cardenas.
Carlos Carrasco has been on the list for about 20 years now straight.
He's 20 years old.
Yeah, he's at least a couple of years. He's yet to break in to being an elite level.
And really, Kyle Drabek could have been the best prospect on this team had he not gotten hurt. He was obviously pitching hurt this year, underwent Tommy John surgery.
Yeah.
He was their first rounder from 2006. They took Joe Savory about the same spot this year, but he's a college guy, not quite as high ceiling.
Yeah, Colorado, I think, has the best of these two.
So Colorado wins the prospect battle. Colorado wins the series.
Yeah, and we figured what we would do is instead of just going from the quarterfinals to the semifinals to the World Series, we would take a break and sort of let these farm systems develop, and then we'll revisit them in the AL and NLCS and see sort of how the farm systems have grown and whether or not they've improved or not, and then we'll match them up from there, maybe give them a month or so.
So let's go on to Arizona and Chicago. Who do you like out of these two?
Arizona and Chicago. I think it's closer. The thing with Arizona, though, all their guys are playing at the major league level right now. All their elite level talents, at least. So I think you got to give the edge to Chicago just because they're still trying to get by with guys like Jason Kendall in the majors. You know, they just made the move to Giovanni Soto. Felix P.A., I have Eric Patterson. All these guys are sort of fringe level prospects for Chicago, but they do have depth in starting pitching. Jeff Samardzija, the football player, Donnie Veal, Sean Gallagher.
Veal and Samardzija are a few high-ceiling guys. Veal, I think his ceiling's really come into question this year. Same with Samardzija. I think we should note that Felix P.A. did graduate to the majors.
Yeah.
So you can put him in the same class as Justin Upton, Chris Young, elite outfield talents who graduated.
Yeah, and a lot of guys like Gallagher and Veal, they've got more potential than a lot of the guys I have for Arizona, like... Let's see, Aaron Cunningham. I have Danny Richard on here. I know you don't really like him. A lot of the guys I have for Arizona are just sort of maybe depth chart type guys for the major league system.
But they do have elite talent, potential elite talents like Carlos Gonzalez, Jared Parker, their first rounder this year. I really like Brett Anderson, second round lefty they took last year, control freak. He got in that car accident this year and suffered a concussion, so his second half was nothing to write home about. But he was advanced enough where he started the year in low A and moved up to high A as a 19-year-old. His dad's a college coach.
Mm-hmm. I don't think there's any questioning that Arizona's got their major league team. It's one of the brightest young teams in the major leagues. It has taken a toll on their farm system, though.
So we'll take this matchup,
it's going to be Chicago.
American League.
Taking it over to the American League.
So we got Boston, Los Angeles Angels.
Adam was telling me earlier he doesn't like Los Angeles' farm system. I think they're pretty good. I think they got some good, talented players. I like Sean Rodriguez more than your average man, I'm sure. Sean O'Sullivan, I really like him in the low minors. And you got the big three, Brandon Wood, Nick Adenhart, Hank Conger. I think it's a good farm system. And then my sleeper, Chris Pettit.
I told you about when I saw Pettit play, though.
Yeah.
I went to see the San Jose Giants, a not impressive team, play against the Angels, High A affiliate in the California League.
Embarrassing performance.
Pettit struck out just about every time.
Yeah, it must have been his one bad game. If you look at his statistics, his OPS is up near the thousands. I think it was.
Yeah, it was up there.
Before he got promoted, still in the 800s.
And Matt Sweeney's another guy with the Angels who excites me a little bit.
Yeah, but we had a consensus pick here that the Red Sox have the best of these two. Buchholz, Michael Bowden, the first round pick from this year, Nick Hagedone.
Mm-hmm.
Lars Anderson, Justin Masterson.
Jacoby Ellsbury is still a prospect, technically. Jed Lowry.
The list goes on and on. I was doing my research for this, and I also wanted to bring up with Adam, the Lancaster Jethawks, do they play in a Little League park? Because pretty much every one of their starters has at least 10 home runs, so it's kind of hard to take statistics seriously when you start seeing stuff like that.
And really, the California League, which Lancaster is in, is one of the most hitter-friendly leagues in all of the minors, and Lancaster is one of the most hitter-friendly ballparks. We've heard about the winds there being amazing, just blowing out to the outfield, and it was kind of interesting seeing Lars Anderson get called up from the South Atlantic League, which favors hitters a little bit, to the California League, and how much that boosted his offensive game.
Hmm.
He'll probably start there again next year, and he's going to put up ridiculous numbers.
Ryan Dent, risky for Boston to pick a shortstop named Dent, but I don't think he got off to the best starts. I mean, a really small sample size. He's going to be fine. I think we mentioned Jed Lowry.
Mm-hmm.
Boston's farm system is stacked.
Just like their big team.
Yeah. So Boston over Los Angeles. New York and Cleveland.
Final matchup. So far we have Colorado's farm system over Philadelphia, Chicago over Arizona, Boston over the Angels. Last matchup. I think this is just as easy as the other American League one. You got to take the Yankees.
Yeah, I think it's probably easier. You took Asdrubal Cabrera off the list because he's graduated.
Correct.
To the big leagues. Then your elite level talent for Cleveland is Chuck Lofgren.
No way.
Bo Mills.
Lofgren's an elite talent.
Yeah.
We've talked about it on the website.
Yeah, Nick Weglars. Chuck Lofgren, I think you still have to put him on the list. He's definitely slipped a little bit in my eyes.
I like Adam Miller. Definitely in Adam's eyes,
for sure.
And Aaron Laffey, the ground baller who some Indians fans got to see up at the end of the season. Carlos Rivera, a shortstop who was in the lower minors. But the Yankees, with Jabba Chamberlain still a prospect. Phil Hughes did graduate, but Ian Kennedy's still a prospect. Jose Tabata, you were talking about how excited you were about Austin Jackson.
Yeah. We took a little heat for putting Austin Jackson in one of our top fives for New York Yankees.
Last year we did that.
And now we're looking pretty sweet.
Yeah, I mean, we didn't have Chamberlain ahead of him at the time, but we've learned a lot since then. The Yankees also have their first rounder, Andrew Brackmann.
Yeah.
Going to go under the knife, Tommy John surgery, but could still be an elite prospect. I got to see him pitch earlier this year when he supposedly wasn't hurt. He was very unimpressive, but it was like 40 degrees, and It was the first game of the season.
What do you think about Chase Wright? You think his stars still got a chance to shine?
He's not a guy I've been too excited about.
Yeah.
What excites you about him?
I don't know. I think he got brought up a little too early and it killed his confidence. I think he's still got a shot at making it back to the big leagues. One of the things that the Yankees are probably made a point of emphasis about and they're still really strong at is pitching. They're not going to have a problem bringing up young pitching. I think their fans might probably not be the most patient people in the world, but they've definitely got a dearth of pitching prospects. And I think hitting-wise, I know this isn't the best thing to talk about on a prospect show, but they're just going to buy hitters at the major league level. Guys like Austin Jackson and stuff, they'll probably get a shot for sure, but I think there's an equally good chance that they're just going to use them as trade bait. But getting back to the playoffs thing, yeah, Cleveland, not a chance. New York Yankees. So our winners in the playoffs is New York Yankees, Boston Red Sox, Chicago Cubs, Colorado Rockies. I think that pretty much covers that.
I'm just glad we could talk about the Yankees without going in depth about Alan Horn, because he's not an elite pitching prospect. I don't care what anyone says.
Yeah.
How about we go to our top fives?
Let's do it. Starting with Tampa Bay.
I did this top five. Yeah. It was probably the easiest top five we've done so far, because just about every guy in their top five has been in my top 25 all year long. David Price, I jumped him in ahead of Evan Longoria. People ask me how special David Price can be. I would argue that he's the best college pitching prospect to come out since Justin Verlander and Mark Pryor.
Has he made his debut yet?
He's been pitching in the instructional league.
Yeah.
He, I think, was finishing up his degree and signed too late to pitch in the minors. But he's a guy who you could see all the way up in Double A by the end of next year.
All right.
Evan Longoria, who we interviewed at the Futures game. He made his way all the way to Durham this year. Third overall pick in 2006. I think he's a third baseman who could hit 25-plus home runs a year. Already a guy Longoria. Who I project as being potentially above average.
Out of nowhere, too, from the college ranks.
Right.
McGee, number three.
Jake McGee. I did an interview with him for Baseball America. He's a lefty who is a late bloomer, similar actually to Longoria, where he grew a ton right out of high school. Longoria did it in college, ended up being a third overall pick. Mm-hmm. McGee was taken, I believe, in like the third, maybe fourth round out of high school. Totally grew into his frame. I think he has number one or two potential.
Mm-hmm.
Reed Brignac is a guy who didn't impress people a ton this year with his batting average. I think that's something that can fluctuate 30 points either way in a given year, so I'm not concerned about it.
Yeah.
I think he was maybe someone who got a little unlucky this year, but a potential power-hitting middle infielder who you should see in AAA next year, maybe be ready to open 2009 as the Double Ray starting shortstop.
Yeah. And you have Wade Davis, number five. I wanted to talk about your honorable mentions here, because I think all these guys are legitimate top five prospects, if not on Tampa Bay, at least on most of the teams in the league.
Mm-hmm.
You have Jeff Niemann. He's sort of faded a little bit.
I got to meet Jeff Niemann this year, too, in Durham. He's a big friendly giant, a gentle guy.
Mm-hmm.
Fun to watch pitch, but he's just a guy who doesn't really have a fastball that has a lot of movement or secondary stuff to complement it. I think you might see him transition to relief next year.
Yeah.
He was a 24-year-old who spent the entire year in AAA. He dealt with one injury, I believe it was a shoulder injury. He was one of those Rice pitchers from 2005 who got hurt.
Yeah.
So he's building up an injury resume. He didn't impress the Devil Rays enough to get a September call-up, I believe. So I think he's a guy who they might toy with in relief next year and see if they can start getting value out of him.
I don't think that really can hurt you that much, especially if you got as many good starting pitchers as Tampa Bay does in the minor leagues. You can afford to play around and stuff like that. Christopher Mason, I really like him. He's one of those big guys, Will Inman types. Adam knows I'm big on Will Inman. but he's just a big guy with a lot of heart. He had a really good season last year. And my man, Jeremy Hellickson, I'm in the top five, but he's still pitching awesome. Is he still in high A, or did they move him up to Double A?
He was actually in low A this year. It was his full season debut.
Yeah, I don't know what they're waiting for with him.
I think they have so much pitching right now, and it's their philosophy where they can bring these guys along slowly.
Yeah. I mean, in any other team, you think they would trade these players for Major League-ready talent. But
with the Devil Rays, they're not really going to be able to invest a ton of money, I don't think, in adding free agent depth. And they might have that all in their minor leagues. Desmond Jennings was the other guy who we had in his honorable mention, and we'll talk about him more later.
Yeah. All right, so moving on to St. Louis Cardinals. Another one This was Sean Halloran.
Yeah, Sean's one of the guys who's been posting on our boards for a while. He was, like, probably one of our first 10 readers ever. And he loves giving us a hard time, and we think he's knowledgeable, so we have him on as one of us now. The Cardinals are his team. I think he was objective and gave us a great list here. We have Colby Rasmus, number one, Henry Garcia, number two, Brian Anderson, three, Adam Ottavino, four, and Tyler Herron, five.
Mm-hmm.
Rasmus is a guy I've interviewed twice for the site now, the only Project Prospect double interview.
Yeah.
I've talked to his dad. He's a cool guy. Baseball first, very straightforward and honest. I think he might end up even being able to play center field in the big leagues.
Yeah.
probably isn't going to hit over 300, but he could hit 35-plus home runs a year.
What do you think of this farm system overall? I mean, Colby Rasmus is obviously elite level. I think, I don't know if he's number one in the world type player.
No, I think the Cardinals have done well with their first-round picks. Mm-hmm. Really, you hope that in the first round you can snatch a guy who's someday going to be a regular on your big league team. I think the Cardinals have done well with that. Remember, they had Derek Barton, who they traded away.
Yeah.
Rasmus is a guy who definitely could be above average. I like Jaime Garcia a lot, too. For people who look at minor league pitchers and try to find indicator stats, strikeouts is one of the first ones we look at. So when we find a guy who doesn't have a great strikeout rate, like Garcia, it's hard to be that excited about him, but Garcia is one of the best extreme ground ball pitchers in the minors. I don't think it's fair to quite say that he has like Brandon Wood potential, but he could be a guy who's a solid number three, number four starter in a big league rotation, and that's a valuable prospect to me.
Yeah, it's going
to
be interesting to follow these guys too in the post-Walt Jocketty era. Have they replaced Walt Jocketty yet? Is that...
I'm not sure if they have yet, but I think it's also important to note that just because an organization loses its general manager doesn't mean it's going to lose its direction.
Yeah.
You have scouting directors who are making a lot of these decisions anyway. Usually general managers, from what I've been told, are only involved with maybe the first, second, third rounders that a team takes. Mm-hmm. So you have another guy who's really leading the charge. If your GM decided to leave this year or has been fired, I wouldn't expect the minor leagues to drastically change the process.
Yeah, I mean, traditionally, a general manager is just there for contracts and...
they have law degrees. They're businessmen.
Yeah. So, the scouting sort of foundations are probably still going to remain in place for St. Louis.
And our last top five, the San Francisco Giants, which Pat and I worked on a little bit together.
Yeah, I know. Hopefully it's not biased, because we're both San Francisco boys, but let's go through our top five and our honorable mentions. We got Angel Villalona, high ceiling, power hitting third baseman.
Who could move across the diamond eventually. He's a big kid. He was signed for over $2 million last year in the international signing period.
I think he can fulfill his potential at third base, though. He's got really soft hands from what I hear. I'd really like to get out and see him at some point. But everything I hear about this kid is awesome.
I might be able to see him in Instructs. We are, for those people who have been following, going to be in the Arizona Fall League. I've talked to Major League Baseball. We have credentials. Just need to get the plane tickets now. And while the Fall League's going on, the Instructional League's going on as well. Saturday, the Arizona Fall League doesn't play. I'm going to see if I can check out some Instructs games, see some of these young guys who haven't played in a full season league yet, like Madison Bumgarner.
Continuing with the Giants and Madison Bumgarner, I think Madison Bumgarner and Tim Alderson are number three, sort of fit the same mold, extremely raw, extremely big, and athletic pitching prospects who are probably a couple years away at the least.
I'm not to disagree with you there on Alderson. I wouldn't really call him raw. He was a guy whose high school coach would not allow his players to pitch from the windup until their senior season.
Yeah.
And I think you see that with a lot of young guys. Like when I saw Bumgarner pitch, he mowed down the lineup he was facing. He pitched for South Caldwell High. I'm trying to remember the team they were facing, but no one pulled the ball off him the entire game.
Hmm.
He had to pitch out of the stretch like twice, and when he did, he picked off guys. But I think you'll see some high school guys who are used to being so dominant that they only pitch out of the windup. So then when you have someone like Alderson who pitches out of the stretch, and just the kind of pitcher Alderson is, he's very, very controlled. He doesn't walk many guys. He could be someone, I think, who could be in AA by the end of next year. I'd say maybe there's a lot more uncertainty around him, and that's how I'd compare him and Bumgarner.
Yeah, I think I'm going to call anyone who's 18 years old raw just because of... Age 18. Come on.
Fine.
All right.
Do that. All right, how about someone who's not very raw? Someone we've seen in the big leagues.
Yeah,
Nate
Schierholz. This is where the Giants farm system sort of takes a nosedive. Schierholz is still a quality player, probably an above-average player.
I'd be surprised if he turns out to be above-average big leaguer. Yeah. Maybe above-average on the Giants. But
he's one of those guys that sort of fills out your starting lineup. He's not going to be the guy that carries you to a World Series, that's for sure, and I think a lot of the people who read our site would agree that the Giants aren't going to be competing for a World Series for at least 2 or 3 years. Number five, we have Nick Noonan, second base prospect. I've heard him compared several times to Chase Utley, but I Seriously, I'm taking that with a spoonful of salt, not just a grain. I hear he's an intelligent guy. He's got good hands, good athlete. His potential is probably as high as he wants it to be. But he did do
well in his full season debut.
He's got to prove himself first, I think.
And Wendell Fairley, as we jump to honorable mentions, was someone who was drafted ahead of Noonan. But keep in mind, Noonan was the 32nd overall pick, so there wasn't really that big of a gap between them.
Who was the A's prospect, Chad Pennington? Was it the shortstop?
Cliff Pennington.
I think Noonan could either develop into sort of a maybe poor man's all-star type second baseman, or he could fall, sort of go the way of Pennington. I think that's a realistic possibility, but high ceiling for sure.
Clayton Tanner, ground ball pitcher. Henry Sosa, electric arm, who was kind of old for his level in the minors this year. Charlie Culberson, another 2007 supplemental draftee, finish out our Giants honorable mentions.
There are some decent players there for sure. I mean, all of their top talent is extremely young. It's a couple years away for this franchise for sure.
All right, in our final few minutes, 5-10 minutes here, we're going to go over some message boards conversations that we had. We have some really growing prospect message boards going on. I know from experience it's kind of hard to find a lot of people who want to talk about prospects. And we have a community now that's approaching, I believe, 300 members. We probably have 40 or 50 regular posters. So let's highlight some of the conversations we've had on there and some of the things people have said.
Yep.
We'll start with our college forums. With the 2007 regular season being over, we already know the 2008 draft order. Of course, the bottom half of that can change with free agent signees, but the top five is set in stones. Double Rays going to be number one. Pirates have the number two pick. The Royals have the number three pick. Orioles will be picking fourth, and the Giants have the fifth pick.
Yay.
Adam Loberstein's our college guy, but I've talked with him.
Yeah, this is all you guys. The Adams. Take it away, Adam.
So some of the college guys who we think could fill out those top five spots. Pedro Alvarez, third baseman for Vanderbilt, has potential to go number one overall. That would be back-to-back number one overall guys for Vanderbilt.
Hmm.
He's not the best defensive third baseman. He, I think, has worse college defensive stats, however much weight you want to put in those, than Ryan Braun, who was playing shortstop. Alvarez has a very advanced bat. I think you could see him go number one. Another guy who could go number one, maybe number two, probably a top five overall pick, barring injury or something drastic, is Justin Smoke.
Yeah.
Plays at South Carolina, a very polished hitter who also has an advanced glove at first base. He would probably play elsewhere on the diamond if he wasn't a lefty.
You don't think Smoke is going to get past number two?
I mean, there's a chance of it. It's still so early. He's been playing. He played for Team USA, didn't do that great with wood bats. But there are some people who like his bat more than Alvarez's. I'll be surprised if he slips out of the top three.
Yeah, from what I've heard, that's the best pure bat in the draft, Justin Smoke.
And then transitioning to another lefty, however, this one goes off the mound, and I've been fortunate enough to see him. Brian Mattis pitches for San Diego. I liked one of our posters said when he goes to a minor league game, he goes and tries to have an open mind and says, if I didn't know anything about any of these guys, who would have impressed me most? When I saw Brian Mattis pitch against UC Davis 2 years ago, I was blown away.
Mm.
This is a lefty with a very advanced secondary arsenal, also was pitching in the low 90s as a freshman. I believe he's a guy who can get up into the mid-90s now. Just a dominant, powerful arm coming from the left side. I don't like him as much as David Price, but I like him as much as any of the elite college pitchers from the 2005 draft class.
Right.
So how about, Pat, you take us to the top 50 we put out.
Yeah, it's from college to the minors. As you noticed, if you're a regular Project Prospect visitor, Adam posted his program, top 50. I had some comments about your top 50. I don't know if you wanted to talk about other
bring
stuff,
it, bring
too.
It.
Clayton Kershaw. I'm a huge Clayton Kershaw fan. I think he needs to be higher. And Derek Barton, not a big Derek Barton fan. He did great in his call with the major leagues, and he's always been sort of he's holy grail junior for Billy Beane. But I don't know. I think where do we have him? 20. I think 20 is a little bit too high, especially surrounded by guys like Fernando Martinez. I don't know. I think we could drop him down a little bit. What do you think?
Yeah, we'll be talking about that more. And the way this list works is I designed a program that values minor leaguers from a production-based standpoint. I'm looking at draft position, their signing bonus, and their indicator stats for the minor leagues. This is something you can email me if you want to know more about how the program works, adamf@projectprospect.com. You can also go onto the site. If you look at our top 25 rankings, I have an article that I wrote about how my program works linked there. So you're going to see something a little different in our top 5, something a little different in our top 100. This is just data in, data out, where my program sees these guys right now. And there were some questions from people in the forums as well. Desmond Jennings was not one of the players I listed among the top 50. I would say right now Desmond Jennings is not really your prototypical project prospect kind of guy.
Yeah.
He's a raw athlete. I believe he played a little bit of football in junior college before he committed to baseball. But he's very toolsy. He played in low A this year and had a good year, but did it as a 20-year-old. He's just someone I want to see more out of in the upper minors because he's going to be turning, I believe, 21 next year, and he still hasn't done anything above low A. I'd almost compare him a little bit to Dexter Fowler, just in that he's a very toolsy guy that we haven't seen much from. Fowler, injury to his wrist this year, so we didn't really get to see him step forward. He's probably a guy who will be hard to find in top 100s this upcoming year, but you saw him a lot on top 100s last year.
Adam, I got a question for you. Why isn't Matt LaPorta on this list?
This is another question that came from our forums. LaPorta is a guy who I followed the draft really closely this year. I was interning at Baseball America, did a lot of draft work, called college and high school. I didn't really think that highly of LaPorta. I thought he was a potential first rounder, but like a lot of people, I was surprised when the Brewers snatched him up so early on. I believe it was like 7th or 9th overall. And he still hasn't played in the upper minors. He hasn't shown that much. He was someone who was drafted by the Red Sox in 2006 as a draft eligible junior, opted to go back to the draft because he had had injuries. So he's a year older than most of the college players in his class. He's someone who I think could really tear it up next year, and he'll rise up my charts then, but I don't feel too comfortable backing him at this point.
One of the guys we talked about earlier, Adam Miller, sort of falling off the charts, literally. What do you think?
Well, here at Project Prospect, I don't think it's fair to say that we have much prospect wisdom yet.
Yeah.
We haven't really been doing this long enough to have wisdom. But when Adam Miller tore it up in spring training, and I had dozens of emails with people saying Adam Miller should be the number one prospect in baseball, I used what little prospect wisdom I had and said, let's hold off for a little bit and see what this guy does for the rest of the season. It's fair to say he's tumbled as much as any elite prospect this season.
Yeah.
We had him at 27th overall in our top 100 entering the year. In August, I looked at another top 50 using my ranking program. He fell all the way to 41st. This time through with my ranking program, he fell down to 50th. He may be a little higher than that when we do our top 100, but this isn't really a guy who I think you can say is that elite of a pitching prospect as what he was before, at least.
I still like him. I mean, he's still going to be a decent... He's definitely going to make the majors at some point.
Yeah.
Cool your jets is what you're saying. Come on, everybody.
I don't think he has front-of-the-rotation potential as much anymore. I think he's a middle-of-the-rotation guy and maybe even someone who gets moved to relief.
All right. To get from the minor leagues to the major leagues, I'm reading a post from the Major League message boards. Who picked out the 2007 NLCS teams to be the D-backs and the Rockies?
I believe the poster was saying at the beginning of the season. However, since no one should have done that.
Even their fans, come on.
I haven't even met anyone who's done that. I think if someone actually did pick that out, there'd be a newspaper article on them right now.
Yeah.
So we're going to approach it as if... entering the playoffs.
Playoffs on. I think you had to look at the Colorado Rockies and the way they got into the playoffs, winning what like 100 out of their last 101 games,
something like that,
making it to the playoffs. Mm-hmm. The baseball playoffs. It's one of the things that makes baseball great. It's just such a crapshoot in a sense that it's the hottest team, not looks wise, the hottest team going into the playoffs. Will always win, and it's not necessarily going into the playoffs, but the hottest team all its wins. That seems pretty obvious. But the Colorado Rockies had to be the favorites because they were the hottest team. Sometimes teams get hot in the playoffs. But right now, the Colorado Rockies are winning. It doesn't look like they're going to stop winning. I think Colorado Rockies have got to be the favorites to win the World Series. But the D-backs have definitely gotten hot, too.
What makes it so interesting is a lot of people predicted that the Dodgers would win this division.
Yeah.
They had the veterans, they had the young guys coming up, and pretty much the Diamondbacks and Rockies were full of young talent that had yet to prove itself at the Major League level. I think it's doing that now.
Mm-hmm. And in the American League, it's Boston and Cleveland. I think Boston's peaking right now. Boston's probably going to make the World Series, but still, you got to look at Colorado. Until Colorado slips up, and they definitely could slip out there. Definitely the favorites, I think, to take the World Series this year. I don't know. What do you think?
I think we can end it on that note. I'm not going to really wager a guess right now, given that those series are still going on about a World Series winner. But I think it's hard to argue right now with the Red Sox and Rockies, and it's going to be fun to watch play out.
Yep. It was fun, Adam.
Yeah, Pat, thanks for coming down for this, and we appreciate you listening.